Okay, thanks for joining this evening. Tonight is the yahrzeit of my mother, Yehudit Vashlema Leha Shalom. The shir tonight is Le'ilui Nishmasa, as we've noted many times in the past. V'Elia Gutmacher in his Hakdamah to Sukkah Shalom discusses the various things that a person can do to affect an aliyah for neshama. And the highest on the totem pole is engaging in Talmud Torah Barabbim. So tonight's shir should be in that spirit. This week, last week and this week, we have a rare calendaric phenomena, something that's happened only six times in the last over 100 years, and that is where Achrayimos and Kedoshim both fall separately, and neither of them coincide with another Haftorah, as in Shabbos HaGadol or Rosh Chodesh or Machar HaChodesh. Last time this happened was in 1997, when I was in Kerem Yavne. Time before that was 1973, 1970, 1946, and 1943 before that. Why is this so exciting? Because as we'll see, there were three different possibilities as to what the breakdown of Haftorahs are under these circumstances for Achrayimos and Kedoshim. This only happens in what's called a Zachag year. There are various breakdowns of the calendar. So we have a Shana Mubaris and a Shana Pshuta, and there are seven different ways a calendar can plan out. Can play out in a Shana Mubaris, seven ways a calendar can play out in a Shana Pshuta. So we are in a Shana Mubaris Zachag year. That means Zion is for what is the day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah this past year was on a Shabbos. Ches is that both Kislev and Bar Cheshvan are Chaser, both of only 29 days, which happened this past year. And Gimel is for the first day of Pesach, which happened on a Tuesday. So Achrayimos Kedoshim will be separate, and neither will coincide with any other Haftorah that supersedes it in a leap year that is a Zachag year, which is what we experienced this year. The discussion begins with Mordechai. Let me share a screen here for the Zoomers. And if you have the Mamre Kamos on your phone, you could take a look. Mordechai in Megillah. Generally speaking, anytime you have a double parsha, we lay in the haftorah of the second of the double parsha. Except for Achrayimos Kedoshim falls the double parsha. Then we lay in the haftorah that we lay in, most of us lay in last Shabbos, the haftorah of Achrayimos from Amos. She haftorah shel parsha rishona. Mimnei shavtorah shel parsha shnia maskeres mitavavos Yerushalayim. Because the Haftorah, the official Haftorah for Kedoshim, the Haftorah of HaTishbot from Yechezkel, mentions Tovos Yerushalayim, mentions negative things about Yerushalayim, and this is a reference to the sugya in Megillah Daf Kafei Mebeis that is the Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara there refers to a different Haftorah than HaTishbot that refers to Tovos Yerushalayim. Hodas Yerushalayim es Tovaseha Nikra Mitargim, says the Gemara Pshita. Why wouldn't you be able to lane from there and have it miturgam at the time in history that we had a mitargim translate the Haftorah? Lafuke midu Reb Lazer. There was a day in Tanaim. Reb Lazer, Ditanya, Maisa ba'adam echad. Sheyakari lamalami Reb Lazer. Hodas Yerushalayim es Tovaseh. Once upon a time, someone was laying a Haftorah from Hodas Yerushalayim es Tovaseh in front of Reb Lazer. Amar lo, acha tabode b'tovos Yerushalayim, sayu b'dok b'tovos imecha. He said, before you go complaining about Yerushalayim and the negativity about Yerushalayim, look into your own maternal lineage. Baku Achrav, Umotsubo, Shemetz, Psul, they found that he had a Yuchsin issue. So even though the Rishonim don't paskin like Reb Lazer, we paskin like Chachamim that in principle you could be Mafter B'Tovah, but the Mordechai seems to be reflecting, all things being equal, if you have a choice between two Haftoros, better to still be Mafter in the more cheerfully themed Haftorah than a Haftorah that discusses Tovos Yerushalayim. And this Mordechai is quoted partially lahalacha by the Ramah Siman Tav Kaf Ches, the very last Siman in the fourth Chelek of Mishneh Berurah, which has the Seder Haftoros Bekitzer. So there the Ramah says, Kishikorin base Parashiyos Maftirin Bachrona, Bilvad Bachreimus Kadoshim, the Maftirin Aloku B'nei Kushiyim, She Haftoros Acharemus. Says the Mishneh Berurah over there, Sivkatan Kav Vav. The Nesha of Torah shall parsha shniyah maskeres mitavos Yerushalayim, mashe ein ken kishen nefrados. But if Achrayimos Kedoshim fall separately, shekvar kara halok b'nei kushiyim and parchas Achrayimos, so you already laid halok b'nei kushiyim last week, v'achreich lihaftir b'parshas Kedoshim hatishbo. Then you have no choice but to be mafter the standard official haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim of Hatishbot. He says that the Levush is kolik on the Ramah, and Levush thinks that even when Achronim Kedoshim are double lane Kedoshim, but that's a minority position in Achronim, the consensus is like the Ramah, that when Achronim Kedoshim falls as it does this year, last week we lane from Amasalub Kibnei Kushim, this week we lay in a Tishbot from Yecheskel. Then he goes on to quote from the Kiveger, who had in Meshabbos Parshas Achremos, Haya Erev Rosh Chodesh, Umaftir and Macher Chodesh. Let's say there's another reason that you don't have to lay in Halo Kibnei Kushim Achremos because Achremos falls on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Then you're laying in Macher Chodesh anyway. In that situation, the following week, Parshas Kedoshim, then you lay in Halo Kibnei Kushim. So not only when Achremos Kedoshim are double, do you lay in a low kibbutz kushim, even if they're separate, but you have another haftorah you could lay in Parshas Achremos. Sometimes Achremos will fall Shabbos HaGadol, sometimes Achremos will fall Machar HaKodesh. In both of those situations, says Rabbi Kiveg, you lay in a low kibbutz kushim for Parshas Kedoshim. So as we'll discuss in tonight's shiur, a number of articles written on this topic were collected by someone who posted to the Otsar HaChachma forum. One of the articles he posted was written in Tafshin Ayin Tes in a journal called Chitzei Giburim by Rabbi Eli Duker. Is that the Eli Duker that was in yeshiva in our time? Probably. Sorry, remember him? He was in Rosh Hashanah at one point, no? Okay. So I think it's the same person. So he points out that the second, what the Mishaburuk here calls from Rabbi Kiveger, you don't find an earlier achronim. Rabbi Kiveger mentions it. He says the earliest record of such a practice to lay in halo kubnei kushim for kedoshim when achremos is a different haftorah, you find in chumashim that are printed in Frankfurt in the seventh around the year 1770. Okay, be that as it may, they were circulating this week a letter written by Yitzchak Dublitsky Zichrono Livracha, one of the gedolei poskim b'nigla b'nister b'nei Brak, who passed away a few years ago, very mekurv to the Chazon Ish, who wrote his most famous sefer is probably Sova Smachos and Hilchos Shavar Brachos. He wrote many Sfarim and many Chiburim, many of which are still being published posthumously. So he wrote a letter in 1996. The last time this happened, it was 1997. I don't remember what we did in KBY that year. Yeah. 96, 97. We were both there. Right. So, but he wrote a letter to the editor of Hamudia, who asked him, what should we print in the Luach this year? So he responded that he thinks the standard minhag, we'll see in a few moments other minhagim, but the standard minhag is what emerges from the Ramah, that in a year like this, all things being equal, better not to lain from Hatishba. But if there's no Breira, then you lain Hatishba for Hashish Kedoshim. So he says, unless you have a contrary minhag, we'll talk about those in a few moments, you should print in the Luach for most people that they should lain Hatishba this week. He says that was a practice of Chazon Ish, that was a practice in his minyan of B'nai Brak, and most of the minyanim in B'nai Brak. And he referred to the back and forth about this in earlier Torah journals as well, and an article that he himself wrote in the journal called Hene'eman in 1970. He writes in this 1996 letter, I wrote this up a while ago. I can't find my tick, so I'll write from memory what I think I wrote. That was before Otsar Chochma. Now you just click, and in 5 seconds, you can find the article that he wrote. But it was a pretty good summary of what he had written in 1970. In the Osir forum, they also printed a Kol Kore printed by Kvutzat B'nai Torah B'nai Brak and Tavshin Lamed that were attacking contrary minhagim because it's against the Chazon Ish. Big letters, B'nai Yisrael Yotzim B'yad Ramah, so you have to follow the minhag in the Ramah. What was that Kol Kore against? So that Kol Kore was against the minhag, of all things to have Kol Kore is against. So the Kol Kore was against the minhag of Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukhachinsky in his Luach Eretz Yisrael, who records a contrary minhag Yerushalayim. Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukhachinsky's Luach Eretz Yisrael began in the early 1900s, the first year that it was printed that coincided with a Shana Mubaris year like this year was 1919. And he wrote there that minhag Yerushalayim, which most assume became or should be minhag Eretz Yisrael, is to switch to lain Hatishba and Achremos, and to lay in halok b'nei kushim for Parshas Kedoshim. It happens to be that on the Rambam Seder Haftorah is printed at the end of his Sefer Ava, he has halok b'nei kushim as the Haftorah for Kedoshim. He has a different Haftorah for he has sorry he has a Tishbot for Achremos, and he has a different Torah for Yecheskel from Kedoshim. But the Prichadosh writes in terms of Minak Svardim that in the end there are Tav Kav Ches Kol Zel Minag Ashkenazim. He talks about the Raman, the Levush that we quoted of a Minagenu for the Svardim in Yerushalayim in his time Achremos Karin Atishbot Ube Kedoshim Karin Halidrosh, which is the Rambam's Haftorah that we don't have in our tradition. But be that as it may, Yuchim Michal Tukhashinsky writes, Aminig Yerushalayim was, is, should be, to lay in Hatishba last week and hello Kibinei Kushiyim this week. So Rabbi Dublitsky referenced and others that Yuchim Michal Tukhashinsky's son, Aaron Tukhashinsky, wrote in the Torah journal Tfuna in, I think it was 1943, referring to what happened earlier and the back and forth and discussion. So he writes that his father told him, you have the excerpt here, he should put an ad in the newspapers to ask the senior Bali Kri Yerushalayim to reminisce as to what the minhag was that they remember in their youth. And whoever responded to the ad said that the minhag was, like Yerushalayim Michal Tukhachinsky said, and that was authentic minhag Yerushalayim. Historical curiosity, he was responding in that letter to a Reb Aaron, to a Remeyer Stolovitz, who wrote in the same year, the same journal, apparently was a Rav in Zichron Moshe Yerushalayim. Before that, he was the last Rav in Chaslavich. He came to Chaslavich in 1927. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik left Chaslavich in 1922. And we'll see what the Rav quotes in the Minhag and Litta in a few moments. But that was not what this Remeyer Stolovitz was saying the Minhag should be. He was defending the Minhag HaRama. And Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukhachinsky's son was defending his father's Nusach Eretz Yisrael or Luach Eretz Yisrael. So it points out, I'm sorry, Dublitsky in his pieces, that even if, as point of fact, it's not the Minhag HaRama, but at the very least, you do have Rishonim that had such a practice of the switch that Hatishbot is really the Haftor Fachremos. In the old Chumashim, many of the old Chumashim that we probably remember from growing up before our scroll, had Hello Kibbinei Kushiyim printed as Kedoshim and Hatishba printed as Yecheskel. So many wrote that that was a tos, but Dublitsky points out it's not necessarily a tos because there are many Rishonim that have like that. Sefer Pardes, Mibes Midrash Sharashi, Lekhara Yosher, Tamil Chumas Hadeshen, One Day in the Avud Raham. So there are a good number of Rishonim that had such a practice. So Bechim Vachotokchinsky wasn't referring to something that came coming out of nowhere. And he hypothesizes maybe the reason this developed as Minhag Yerushalayim, if that indeed was the case, because of the influence of the Svardim on the Talmidei Hagra that came and created their Kehila Prushim in Yerushalayim in the early 1800s. When the Talmidei Hagra came, there was no Ashkenazi presence in Yerushalayim. So he hypothesizes that even though they created their own community, there are certain influences from the Sephardic establishment that crept into the Nusach HaPrushim. He says, for example, reciting Hallel with the Bracha Lel HaSeder, which is not the Minhag Hagra. For example, saying Tal and Geshem before the Shil Shemoneh Esrei, which is not the Minhag Hagra, not laning Simchas Torah night against the Minhag Hagra. So he suggests that there are kama v'kama changes that the Prushim established in Yerushalayim against Minhag Hagra, and he hypothesizes that might be based on the influence of the local Sephardi community. Be that as it may, that's what Luach Eretz Yisrael says is Minhag Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Dublitsky writes, even though in general it's appropriate to follow Minhag Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael, here that's not the case because here the standard Minhag should be like the Rama, unless you have a positive tradition to the contrary. There is a third possibility, and that's what Rav Schechter quotes in Nefesh HaRav from the Rav. The Rav wrote himself in Divrei Hashkafa that the Rav Schechter quotes. The Rav said the Minhag and Litta was that in a year like this, you would lay in Halo Kibinei Kushiyim both last week and this week. We want to avoid being after B'tavos Yerushalayim under all circumstances. He says the Minhag and Litta was to lay in both last week and this week, Halo Kibnei Kushiyim. And that's what the Rosh Hashanah said that Yeshiva should do this coming Shabbos. However, there is evidence that there was such a practice in Yerushalayim as well. In a kundris written in the 1970s, part one, 1970, part two, 1973, by a Rabbi Shmuel, a Cohen Weingarten, he writes that in 1943, He davened in the Gras Shul in Shari Chesed. Our generation knows the Gras Shul is where Rav Zalman davened. But apparently in the 1920s, that's where Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap davened. So he writes that he was there in 1923 in the minyan of Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. So he came, Parshas Kedoshim. He came a little bit late to Shul. And he writes that Yaakov Moshe Chalap motioned to him to come over. And Yaakov Moshe Chalap said, I haven't started Baruch Shomer yet because I was waiting for someone to do a shlichus for me. So he said, please go. I see that the Baal Kori isn't here yet. I suspect that the Baal Kori didn't come because he doesn't want to have to lay in Hatishbot. And go tell him that he's not going to have to lay in Hatishbot. We're going to lay in Halo Kibinei Kushiyim. So he went to find this Baal Kori. The Baal Kori wasn't home. He writes he suspected that the Baal Kori went to daven at the Kosel instead. So instead, they got the Baal Kori from the Vasikin minyan to come and lay in a second time at their minyan. And he lay in Halo Kibinei Kushiyim, Parshas Kedoshim, after Parshas Achrimos. And then he discussed with the standard Baal Kore, who said that he was laying already for 40 years there. And he remembered that in 1902, when that Baal Kore was 25 years old, in the minyan, he heard that the minyan of Shmuel Salant, they did the same thing, even though he wasn't there himself, but he heard that Shmuel Salant's minyan, they did the same thing. So apparently, this is a practice in some places in Yerushalayim as well. Rabbi Shlomo Sofer, who was the Ma'adir on the annotated Me'iri, wrote a response in Moriah Tavshin Lamed. He says, even if that's true, that's not Kaveh Minu Yerushalayim, and he has Pikukim on the formulation of this Rabbi Weingarten, and he says he doesn't think that was really Minu Yerushalayim. And then Rabbi Weingarten wrote a response in 1973 that listing another dozen plus shuls in Yerushalayim of historical significance, where they did lay in a low Kibbutz Kushiyim 2 weeks in a row. Rabbi Dublitsky, in his piece, in the original piece in 1970, he writes referring to this idea of laying in the same after 2 weeks in a row, davar zeh lo nimsa b'shem posik b'shem sefer mimisadrim minhagim. If you look at all the texts of minhagim, you don't find evidence for this anywhere in print, and therefore he thinks that it's incorrect to lay in the same haftorah 2 weeks in a row. He notes that, after all, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Pei Gimel, one of the shortest simanim in Shulchan Aruch. The whole simon says, why do we lay in a maftir every Shabbos from Pinchas to Biyama Shabbos? It would be very short. Okay. But the Mishnah Berurah says another reason, that aside from that, the din is that the haftorah is minyano of the maftir. And if you're going to lay in the same maftir every Shabbos, you're going to have to lay in the same haftorah every Shabbos. And we don't do that. So apparently you see that you shouldn't be laying in the same haftorah every Shabbos. He does acknowledge that there is some precedent, and that's the din of Purim Mishulash. Mishnah Berurah Tafresh Peches of Katan Tesayim points out, meaning in Yerushalayim is Purim Mishulash. You lay in the same Haftorah Parsha Sacha the week before, and the Bo Bayom Purim, which falls on Shabbos. So even though he has that precedent, he thinks that in the 1970 piece, if Dublitsky thinks it's not right to lay in the two Haftorahs, the same Haftorah back-to-back weeks. He goes so far as to point out a Marsham in Das Torah and Hilchos Trefos, who suggests that if a person eats four Sudas on Shabbos, to be Choshesh Rashitas Reb Chidka, Chidka holds that it's four Sudas on Shabbos, and you call it Sudas Reb Chidka, you have Friday night Suda, Shabbos day, Shal Shudas, and Reb Chidka Suda. So if you call it Reb Chidka Suda, he thinks that's a chashash minos, because to be choshesh for a day in Amarayim that's not accepted la'alacha is a chashash minos. So he says, if you can be choshesh for shitas or blazer, that you can't be mafter b'tovah yishalayim, and then din's not like him, maybe it's the same idea. Mm-hmm. Then he says, however, you could understand why this minhag may have developed in Yerushalayim, because take a look at a comment to the Ritva, Megillah Kafei Amud Beis. Says the Ritva, the Ran has this, what's the deal? Sir Blazer is entitled to his opinion, but the Baal Kori held like the Chachamim, so what did he have against the Baal Kori? But he was the rabbi, so the Gaishin of laying the Haftorah, that asking the rabbi what Haftorah to lay. Okay, so it's not because he lay in the Haftorah per se, it's because he didn't ask the local rabbi what to do in the shul. So that was Pchisas Kavod Chachamim, and that's what indicated that it was a psul. So says Shai Dublitsky, so along the same lines, even though we don't pass him like a blazer, but maybe it's a Pchisas Kavod for Yerushalayim if you're going to lay in Tovah Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, one thing to lay in Tovah Yerushalayim the rest of the world. But Gam Lechboshes HaMalkei Mi B'Bayis, to lay in Tovah Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim, that would be horrible. So maybe that's the reason that such a practice developed in some places. But then in his 1996 letter, he says, someone showed him the Nefesh HaRav, and he saw that Rav Soloveitchik has such a practice, and that made him a little bit happier that this minhag did develop in Shalayim out of nowhere. There's at least a claim that there's such a minhag in Lita. And then this Rabbi Weingarten again, in his Kundrasim, so he says, he discusses with a certain Rabbi Weisenstern, who said there's another precedent, not only per Meshulash, but the Ikar Din that the Ramah says that was minag in certain communities in Ashkenaz was when there's a chassan and shul, then you lay in the Torah of half Torah of Sostasis. There's a special half Torah for chassan. That's not our practice, but there was such a practice in the Tamei Zushan, and the Ramah references it. So if you had an Ofer of two Shabbos in a row, which probably happens sometimes, so then you're laying in the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. So it's not the end of the world to lay in the same Haftorah 2 weeks in a row. And then he quotes from Shlomo Kluger, Sefer Chaim, there in Shulchan Aruch. What happened where the Tzibur, by mistake, lay in Hatishbot for Acharemos? So says Shlomo Kluger, in principle, the Halok Bnei Kushiyim Shayachas L'Achare as well. To lain hatishba for achrei mikol makom, you still lain it again kadoshim because that's the correct haftorah according to most. That's not a tarti disasri. The bekam haftorahs maftirin shtei pa'amim kigon rani b'simchi b'shabbos chanukah parshas baloscha aniyasa rad noach and shivit in nechemta. So he doesn't really see a difference between laying the same Haftorah twice a year, not consecutive Shabbosos, and laying consecutive Shabbosos. There's precedent for laying the same Haftorah on two different occasions during the year, and maybe even two back-to-back Shabbosos. So the bottom line of Dublitsky, which seems to be the generally accepted bottom line, is that Minhag Yerushalayim, the way Vichy Melchotovichinsky has it in his Luach, is that you laying Hatishbot followed by Halok B'nei Kushiyim. So that he thinks is appropriate in Yerushalayim as a default minhag, and places like Petach Tikva that follow minhag Yerushalayim. For everywhere else in the world, the default is to do like the Ramah, like I assume what we're doing here, what most shuls do. And if you have such a minhag to lay in Halok B'nei Kushiyim 2 weeks in a row, then that's acceptable in that location as well. Just to close, Ramosha has an interesting shuva, Chelak Aleph, Simin Lamed Vav. What happened? Shabbos Parshas Kedoshim Ta'u V'Galulu Hanavi B'Yecheskel B'Avtaras HaTishbot U'Berach Kvar. So Parshas Kedoshim, they were supposed to lay in Halok B'nei Kushiyim in that year. Instead, they rolled it to HaTishbot and they ready to say the bracha. So he says, if you're laying out of a Sifra D'Avtarat, you're not laying out of a Klaf. So then he thinks that the assumption is when a person says a bracha, the bracha schala, whatever the haftorah is supposed to be. And your intention is what the haftorah is supposed to be. So even if you have the wrong page, but you said the bracha with the intention that it's what the haftorah is supposed to be, then you can switch it. If you're laying from a klaf, it's a different klaf. So then there's nothing to talk about. But if you're laying from the same, in the same klaf, if it, both are in the same sefer, or if you're laying from a chumash, a tanach, then he thinks if you have das, that it should be the right of Torah, even if you have the wrong page, then you don't have to say another bracha. And he notes in that tshuva, agav, the rarity of the calendrical phenomena that we've been discussing tonight. Okay, so that in a nutshell is some of the discussion of the correct of Torah for last Shabbos and this coming Shabbos.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Shabbos and Shalom, Shabbos, Malia.
Amen. You might have a shear Thursday night?
No, exactly. Wait.
Whatever people want. I was assuming I don't mean about three people twice in a week, but if you can let me know.
What? You can say.
Yeah.
Is there any reason to switch?
Rabbi Zalman, do you have time to prepare a second share for Thursday night?
If you're interested, I could prepare a second share.
We'd be interested, but we don't want to infringe on your time.
Okay, so Blee Nether will have a share Thursday night too. Yeah, sorry. They held that was the correct order, right? Right.
Sound like according to those that avoid.
Right.
Why it
Because even though we assume there's a
the authority.
So we assume that there's a value to, we assume that there, even if we don't pass like a blesser, but there's all things being equal, there's still a value to his position. We want to avoid the master betovas. So if you have a choice, if there's two appropriate haftorahs, it's better to take the less controversial one. If you have no choice, so then if that's the official haftorah, you can lay in it.
So, don't include it in everyone have trouble. Why is there food on that?
So apparently that's the balance that it is connected to the parsha. We pass it in principle that that you can lane it, but we avoid where possible.